The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in Him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge.
So a couple weeks ago, we began the Christmas season with a new series called Come to Worship. It's really taken from the Christmas story as found in the book of Matthew. For many, we understand the Christmas story. There were a couple groups of people that came to visit baby Jesus when he was born. The angels appeared to the shepherds, and the shepherds were freaked out at first, but the angels said, don't fear. We're here to let you know good news of great joy. You will find baby Jesus wrapped in a manger. We also know from the book of Matthew that in the distance, there was a group of men, wise men, some call them magi, and they saw a star like they had never seen before. And they had heard the prophecies of a coming king, a Messiah. And so they began what would be a two-year journey. A lot of people think that the wise men showed up the night Jesus was born, but it actually, they didn't find Jesus till he was about 2 years old. But we still kind of include them in our nativity scenes often, don't we? The important thing is they came with one main reason. They came to worship. They came bowing down before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And in this series, my hope has been that we would understand the depth and the purpose of worship, that we're not just called to worship simply by raising hands. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. Through the songs we sing, through the things that we do, we're not just called to do worship, but we're called to be worshipers in every area of our life. And today, as we dive a little deeper, my hope is that we would see that worship isn't just something we do when things seem great, when we're excited, when we're ready to celebrate who God is, but even the times of despair, times of brokenness, times of heartache, God is still there, and God is still worthy of our worship. Today, we're going to look at a couple pictures from the scriptures of individuals who were broken before God, who were hurting, and yet they came and they pour out their hearts before our King. And so as we learn different forms of worship, like raising our hands, we talked about the first week, like in our culture, many times you'll see hands raised at a couple times, whether they're celebrating, like at a sports game. Yeah, touchdown! They're so excited, they're ready to go. In victory, sometimes we'll raise our hands. And the other time is when you're getting robbed. Okay, I give up. Okay, here, take my wallet. Okay, so we raise our hands in victory, and we also have learned to raise our hands in surrender. And the beauty of this is that when you come to God with hands raised, you're doing both. While you come and surrender your life to Jesus, you find victory. You find victory in Him. You find forgiveness. You find wholeness. You find love like no other. And my hope is that we would come and become the people that He's called us, not to do worship, but to be worshipers. A worshiper is who we are. Worship is not what we do. And so my hope, as we dive a little deeper today, we would see that this comes from the depths of who we are. As we allow our hearts to be open, our souls to cry out, as we come to God in light of our circumstances, in spite of our circumstances, not because we're good or things around us are good, but because God is good. And so, some of you are here this morning, and you're blessed, you're grateful, you're excited that you have family coming in town, you're ready for the holidays, things are going wonderfully. And so I hope that in that spirit, you will worship God. Later today, we're going to have time to have a time of worship and pouring out before God. And those of you who are in that place, I hope you're ready to worship God with all you are and to pour out your heart. But some of you here aren't at that place. Some of you are just trying to make ends meet. You're just kind of existing. You're just kind of here, and in some ways you feel like you're just going through the motions. And even in the midst of that, my hope and my prayer is that you will find time and place today to pour out your hearts before God. And for those of you who are maybe even further, you're struggling. You're hurting. You maybe feel alone. This is a Christmas season where you're having to deal with the loss of someone that you've loved that has usually been there this time of year and they're not. Or you're just hoping to get through the holidays as a family intact. Your marriage is falling apart and you don't know how to hold things together. Or you have a child who keeps making poor decisions and poor choices, and instead of this season being filled with joy, you're hurting and your heart is aching. And even you. I pray that today you would find that this is a place and God is a person that you can come to and pour out your heart and come to him and worship. A couple people in Scripture that we can look to for examples, David and some of the other psalmists. I want to start by looking at Psalm 42. 42 verse 2 and 5. The psalmist here comes out and he comes to God and he says, I pour out before him my complaint. He doesn't come and start the psalm by saying, I pour out to you my praise because you're wonderful. Instead, he comes to God and he says, I come to you and I pour out my complaint. Before him, I tell my trouble. I cry to you, verse 5 says, I cry to you, Lord. I say, you are my refuge. You are my portion and the land of the living. And in verse 8 of Psalm 62, it says, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our what? Refuge. Growing up as children, we learn to find refuge in different places, don't we? For some, it's under the bed. I don't know why that's where the monsters hide, but others, it's a closet. And I don't know about you, but that may have been where your monsters would hide. We had different places. I remember as a kid with my brother, we would have clubhouses. We would have places to go when we felt like we needed to be protected or safe. And actually, as I grew up to be a teenager, it wasn't necessarily a place. It was being with a people. It was being with my parents. If I would see something scary, it would be very natural for me to come and say, Mom and Dad, can I sleep on the floor in your bedroom tonight? And, you know, as kids, 18-year-olds, that's okay. So I would do that from time to time. I remember this one night. It was one of the nights right before I was getting ready to go off to school, to Liberty, to start my college years. And I wanted to spend that last night, instead of sleeping in the basement by myself, I wanted to sleep with my brother up in his room. And so I'm sleeping on the floor in my sleeping bag. And I get woken up because I hear some heavy breathing. And now, this wasn't snoring. It was more like somebody was in the room and trying to be secretive, kind of like that, can you hear that? It wasn't Darth Vader, okay? But it sounded like heavy breathing, and it woke me up, and it scared me to death. And I'm looking, and I don't want to move because they might see me, realize that they're there. And so I try to lay still, and I just open up one eye in the dark. And over here against the door to my brother's bedroom, there is a very tall, scary man standing against the door like this. Like he's noticed I've started moving, and so he's not going to move. And he's standing there, and he's not moving. And so as the young man who's going to protect my family, as anyone would do, I look and I freak out and I yell, Mom! She was my place of refuge. And it just naturally was the first thing to come out of me when I was freaking out. My brother jumped off the top bed. If you know Gary, this isn't going to be a surprise to you. He grabbed the baseball bat that was next to his dresser, and he got up and said, John, what's wrong? What's wrong? I'll take care of it. John, let's go. We turn on the lights, and it was his winter coat hanging on the door. All of us at times have our place of seeking refuge. We want to feel protected. And for the Israelites, there were six cities that were known as refuge cities. If they needed protection or a place to run to, they could go there and find peace and protection. Here, the psalmist, he's struggling. He's got some things going on in his life, and he isn't feeling like This is a time where I'm happy and everything is good. And I want to praise you, God, because you're wonderful. Instead, he comes before God, pouring out his heart and seeking refuge. And that is a form of worship. And I want us to learn that we are called to praise God even when things really are bad. Even when things aren't going the way we wish they would. We're called to trust in him at all times, to pour out our hearts to him, for God is our refuge. So there are two points I want to drive home for us today. The first one is that as we learn and we go through the process of pouring out our hearts to God, that we would first of all remember God's faithfulness in the past. Many of us that have grown up in church, we've heard stories of God doing amazing things, even in the midst of trials and struggles. Those of you who are here today, you may have heard stories of God has worked in your friend's life, or in your family member's life, or even in your life. Then there are tons of times throughout Scripture where God has told the people of Israel, as I did this for you, remember what I did. When things get rough, think back on this day. Build a memorial. Pile up rocks so that when children ask of you what this rock means, remind them of how I was there for you, how I provided for you, how I was your refuge, how I was your God. The psalmist in Psalm 42, 3 through 5, we're not totally sure who this is. Many theologians believe this was David when his own son, Absalom, was rebelling against him and turning against him. Many thought God was against David now. And David says these words, we believe, in verse 3. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Has that ever been you where you just have just cried yourself and you can't go to sleep? You're just up all night worrying. My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God? And verse 4, the tide changes and he says, here's what I do. I remember. He says, these things I remember as I pour out my soul, as I cry out to you, as I'm hurt, as I'm burdened, as I'm aching. These are the things I remember. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throne. And he begins to preach to himself in verse 5. He says, why then, my soul, are you so downcast? Talking to himself, and sometimes we have to do this. We have to lift up ourselves out of our mess in spite of the darkness that surrounds us. And we say, why? Why are we going to let ourselves to be down? Why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Instead, put your what? Put your what? Hope. Put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him, my Savior. My God. Hope is not defined by your circumstances. You don't have hope because things are great. You have hope because you have a God that is great. We have hope not because things are going as we had planned, but because we know the God of the plan. We know he who is able to sustain us, and even when we are faithless, he is faithful still. We have a God who loves us and cares for us. And in him, we have hope. So, in the midst of our times when we're wondering where God is, when our soul is aching, when our heart is crying out, we need to remember what God has done in us and through us and for us in our past. As a kid, I remember growing up, and I lived in a family that didn't have the best of all. We lived in a couple different trailer parks. There was times and seasons where mom and dad would have to work multiple jobs to make ends meet. I remember times where we literally were driving down roads collecting cans so that we could buy milk or bread for the week to turn them in. I remember times of waiting in line at local churches for food drives, and I was a part of a family that was blessed by a church like yours that gave us Christmas presents a couple years. So So I have seen. But as Gary said to somebody a week or two ago, I don't remember who he was talking to, somebody here, Gary told someone, I don't remember ever going hungry. And that's just it, is God always was there for us. As hard as things were, as difficult as it was at times to make ends meet, we were never hungry. God always was there to provide for us. I remember growing up and feeling called to go to college and to become a youth pastor. And my parents were like, that's great, and we love you, and we know Jesus can make this happen, but financially, we don't have a clue how to make this happen. But God provided, and I left Colorado. I was able to come here to Liberty and meet my wife and begin my family, and God was there. God opened those doors and provided. 2 years after being married, we ended up conceiving Jordan, and I'm a part-time youth pastor getting about $100 a week. And I'm working full-time at Walmart, buffing floors with no insurance. And we're pregnant. And we got a baby coming. That's what pregnant means. And we had no insurance. Did I already say that? And yet, God provided. Now, both Brandy's dad and my dad had a talk with me and said, John, you know, I know you feel called to ministry, but maybe the military is where you need to go. They'll take care of you. And so I was like, wow, I just studied to be a minister. I don't know if I can. And so I ended up going and talking to all the recruiters and ended up choosing the Marines. And I was 3 days from being shipped out to boot camp. I'd already did the ASVAB and took certain steps. And I got a call from a church in Florida, praise Jesus. And they said, we need a junior high youth pastor. Will you come? And I was like, yes, okay. And went and talked to the recruiter, and they let me go. And I was on my way starting ministry. God has always provided. A couple years after that, Bailey was born. And Bailey came out with an APGAR score of 2. That's really bad, guys. For those of you that don't know what APGAR is, I don't even know. I just know 2 is bad. But it wasn't good, and shortly after that, after being in the hospital for months and on sleeping and sent home with monitors and having to go to therapy 5 days a week, she was diagnosed with cerebral palsy. We were told she might never, she had seizures like crazy. We were told she might never walk, might never talk. And today I get to drive her back to school to take a test at college, and she's been a miracle. God has caused her to grow, and God has been there. About 10 years ago, Brandy found out she had a hip disease. 5 surgeries later and a unfortunate happening during one of the surgeries, a severe nerve injury took place, and she was left in a wheelchair, and they weren't sure she'd walk again. And she's walking today. God has been there time and time again. And even in the midst of the struggle and the questions and God, why, and what are you doing here, God has always been there. And we have praised him even when we didn't feel like it. And that's what worship is. The prophet Jeremiah, if you want to see somebody who has it rough, he wrote a whole book called Lamentations. You know what that means? It means the book where I cry a lot, okay? It's him constantly crying and weeping because things aren't going as he hoped. And as Jeremiah is crying out, he cries out these words in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 19. He says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall inside me, and I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. And yet I will call this to mind. He tells himself, in spite of how rotten and terrible things are, I will remember this, and therefore I will have hope. Verse 22 says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, and his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So he goes from, I'm so down and I'm bitter, and but you know what? I'm going to remember who God is. And you know what? While I remember who God is, you are God. And he goes from talking about God to worshiping him. And he says, great is your faithfulness, even in spite of what is happening in my life, what is happening in the nation of Israel, what is happening in the world around me. In spite of all that, none of this is good, but God, you are good. That is worship. And so as you look at your own life, think of how God raised you. Think of how God called you. Out of what God rescued you, the things that you have struggled with, that he has been there, and that there was no other answer but God. Remember the times that God has been faithful for you. The second thing, as we have learned to trust in God, we know that we can trust in his power, not just for the past and not just for the present, but even for our future. In Psalm 102, verse 11, there's another psalmist calling out, and he says, hear my prayer, Lord. Let my cry for help come to you. The psalms aren't just a bunch of praise songs. Many times they're broken hearts crying out, poured out before God. And if you don't know the psalms, I encourage you, come at 9:30. We've started a series, I think there's 18 weeks left, at 9:30 on Sunday mornings where Rodney is taking us through the major themes of the book of Psalms. Come and be a part of that. Dive in a little deeper into your study of God's word. What you see in the Psalms is people being real before God. That is worship, being real before him, coming to him and praising him, but also coming to him and crying out to him. Hear my cry for help, he says in verse 2. He says, do not hide your face from me when I am in distress. Turn your ear to me. When I call, answer me quickly. In verse 5, it says, in my distress, I groan aloud, and I am reduced to skin and bones. I lie awake at night, and I can't sleep. I've become like a bird all alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. And what I eat ashes as food, and mingle my drink with tears. He's going on and on about how desperate and how terrible things are. And then three words change everything. And for you this morning, these three words are maybe the three words you need in your life. Maybe the very reason you're here today is because you need these next three words in your life. You're in a place where you don't understand why things are falling apart. You don't understand why your marriage is on the brink of you're hoping just to get through. You don't understand your kids. You don't understand the news you just got about your health. You don't understand the situation at work. You don't understand. You're frustrated. You're confused. But verse 12 starts out with the psalmist saying, everything is falling apart, but you, Lord. But you, God, you sit enthroned forever. Your renown endures through it all. I don't know why, but you, God, are there. I don't know how, but you, God, are there. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but you, God. Do you know God in that way? Have you come to learn what it means to worship God in the midst of that struggle? Where you take the pain and you pass through the pain to the point of praise. Where you know the one you're crying out to is the God of the universe, the maker of all, the one who loves you and the one who wants to hear you. Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. We push through that pain and our pleas to the point of praise. My hope is that each and every one of us, when we're feeling doubts, when we're feeling distractions, when we're feeling depressed, when we're feeling rejected, that we know that we have a God who is there. A God who calls us to come to worship him. And that as he has been there in the past and we remember those things and the power that he has demonstrated, he also has our future. There was this group that I loved listening to back in the early 90s called For Him, and they had a song that said, he's already there. No matter where I'm going, no matter what my future holds. All I need to know is that God is already there. And my hope is that regardless of what struggles you've had in your life, regardless of what pain you're in the midst of right now, that you would push through it to a place of praise. I want you to hear a song. This song is sung by a group that many of us know. It's Hillsong. A lot of their songs are about celebration. They're about joy. But they decided to write a song that captures these moments. That even when things are falling apart, even when it hurts, even when we don't have the answers, we will still praise you. And if while you're listening to this song, you feel led to move, to come and pray, to pour out your heart before God, I encourage you to do so. I'm going to ask our prayer team, whether you're assigned today or not, if you feel like, you know what, I want to help pray with people, then I want to encourage you, small group leaders, those of you who are mature believers in Christ, I want you to be ready and listening to the Holy Spirit over these next few moments. I know we have a family here. Some of you have come up to me at the end of services and said, please pray for my family. And you've shared with me things that are heavy. My encouragement to you right now is bring these things to our God who loves you, who cares. And if that's just by you sitting there, opening your heart to God, then let that be what it needs to be. But I encourage you, if you feel like you need to come and kneel at a set of cafeteria steps and pour out your God to God there, if you want to meet with one of our prayer team leaders that are going to be standing around the sides of the room, or if you want to come up here to me, don't go through this alone. Pour out your heart to God as an act of worship. He loves us, and he loves to be needed by us. So let us come to him. Respond as the Holy Spirit leads you to get up and pray, to go find a loved one, to pray for them. Listen to these words. Thank you. as this continues to play, I want you to pour out your hearts to God. I want you to find that person you need to pray with and grab a hold of their shoulders and just begin to pour out yourself to them. Worship is not just full of hands raised and happy feelings. Worship is coming before God and saying, God, in spite of my situation and circumstance, I come to you. I worship you because you are good. So I encourage you to do that now. Again, whether that's coming forward and kneeling at these steps or before the cross or finding someone to pray with from your family, pour out your hearts to him now. And if you aren't broken and there's nothing wrong, then stand up and worship him in praise. As this song ends, our worship team will come up and close us in a closing song, but use these next moments to pray with and for each other. Pour out your hearts in worship to our King. Continue just to pour out your hearts before him. Whether silently or aloud, lift your voices. Pray for one another. Lift each other up. Don't know our God. I pray for you if you're here today and you don't know God as your refuge. You don't know Jesus as your Savior. The scriptures want you to know that even if you were the only person on this earth, Jesus still would have come just for you to let you know how much he loves you. And the greatest gift that Christmas has ever seen is the gift of Jesus laying down his life for us. Him coming, born for one purpose, to die in our place, to offer us forgiveness and salvation. And if you're here today and you've never given your heart to Jesus, he's waiting for you with outstretched arms. He loves you. He's here to pour his life into you, to give your life purpose and meaning, to help carry you through the dark times and give you a peace that passes understanding. So if you're here and you've never received him, I pray that you would do so right now. Just from your heart, just call out to him and say, Jesus, come into my life. Thank you for dying on a cross for me. Thank you for the forgiveness that you offer in your place. God, thank you for taking my place. Come into my life and make me new. Help me to understand and begin to learn what it means to follow you. Come and gave your heart to Jesus today, I'd love to hear from you. As our worship team closes us in this last song, just come up and let me know. I'd pray with you. Go to one of our prayer team members. Let them pray for you. Let's stand together as we close, as we offer up our hearts to God. Here's my heart, Lord. Take it. Speak to me in the midst of my struggle. Tell me what is true. Help me to understand that you are there in spite of my circumstances. No matter how bad things are, you are always good. Here's my heart, Lord. Let's lift up our hearts to Him. Let's pour.